Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, and tonight we are going to have a special guest, Mrs. Ann Elliott from Homeschooling in Torah. Shalom, Ann.
Shalom. Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to hear you again. You were here a couple years ago.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes. So I think for basically the main topic, I guess, tonight will be around homeschooling Torah. And why don't you bring us up to date after you give a little bit of a background of how you came into Torah and where you're at today?
Sure thing. Well, Yehovah opened our eyes to the Torah starting in the year 2006, so it's been about 11 years. In fact, it was just this time of year. It was hot in the summertime, and I had been out in the heat, and we'd been really, really busy, and I just started getting terribly sick, and I was stuck in bed the rest of the summer and into the fall, and during that time, and we didn't know what was wrong with me at that point. We found out later, but during that time, I was just so convicted to read my Bible from cover to cover. And I read it fast because I had time. And as I read, I basically was wanting to prove one of two things. I thought that either the whole Bible was just a bunch of lies and couldn't possibly be true because I saw so many inconsistencies, and what I knew as good doctrine just didn't make sense. And either it was either that or it would all make sense. And I kind of made an ultimatum to God one night when I was praying. And I said, either it's going to make sense when I read it or I'm done. I'm not going to do it anymore. And so I read the first page, Genesis 1, and it talked about the Sabbath, and it was on the seventh day. And I remember thinking, well, that's not Sunday. And phooey, I'm going to do it on Saturday then. And kind of as I went in, throughout the first few books of the Bible, he brought to my attention food laws. And so over the next year, and some of the decisions took a couple years for us to make and change our lives, but we learned so much about the feasts, about the food laws, about being unclean, and how to train our children. And that one was a really big topic to me because I had, at that point, 5 kids, and I wanted to teach them according to Scripture. And I was sold out. And it was because of His Spirit moving in my heart that I said, I'm going to do it His way or no way at all. And I'm just super grateful that He moved in our hearts like that. But that's basically how we came to it.
Well, that's pretty awesome. This is one thing that I find very common, is that believers started reading the Bible, all of it.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And it was actually homeschooling for me back in the 90s, reading a chronological Bible. Mm-hmm. Right, thinking I'm going to get the whole Bible read to my children.
Right.
And didn't realize I was reading Torah, right?
Right, right. I didn't know what that word was.
Right. I mean, was it the Pentateuch, right?
Yes.
And so, right. You're reading through the whole thing and, following the begats and seeing that the blessing and the seed line goes on and the things that you're taught, when you go to the congregation is not the same as what the Scriptures are saying. So that is a common denominator. Now, you had a kind of an unusual situation, if you want to share it, about your husband and the situation you were in, because that wasn't an easy ride.
No. Right around the time that we started to keep the Torah and we started to observe our first feast, my husband felt that God was calling him into the ministry. And before that, he was a public school teacher, counselor, administrator, and he resigned his position and went to be a Baptist pastor. And I remember saying to him, honey, I'm sorry, but I'm keeping Sabbath. And he says, honey, you can rest on the Saturday and we can still minister on Sunday. It was, a good learning time for us because now it was his job to study the Scriptures and to teach them. And so he had time like I had had, and he could study and there's nothing like teaching someone else to be incredibly convicted. And it was just a really great time in our lives. We met great people during that time of our lives, but for 4 years he was a Baptist pastor and we did keep the Torah, and he helped us through that even on the days I wanted to I just had this idealized life that we could get away from it all and we'd have this perfect, Sabbath keeping church. And I just thought all our problems would be solved if that happened. But anyway, he brought us through that time, and we needed that education and we needed that training. And I think that's really why he was a pastor. It was for our own sakes. We needed it. And then, yeah. So.
So then you guys had to make some major decisions, because after a while, that 2 feet or a foot in each area doesn't work too well, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it wasn't fair to the congregation there either, because that, you know, those weren't their stated beliefs, and it just wasn't fair. So he resigned in 2012, and we didn't know where we were going to live. We'd been in a church parsonage, and we didn't know what we were going to do for a job. And he had been learning graphic design, and he is very good at it, but to go from zero to paying for all your bills was a really big leap. And God very well provided for our needs during the few months after we left the pastorate, but it was hard. it was hard. And one day we basically were packing to move. We didn't know where we were going to move to, because we couldn't pay the rent and we had no jobs, and we knew we couldn't keep doing what we were doing, and we were packing. And I was finding all of the books that we had used for homeschooling through the years, but I knew we wouldn't, I didn't even know if we could rent a truck to put our things in. So we were going to sell everything and try to pay the rent before we left with that. And I just remember going through all of those homeschooling books and all the things that I had learned over, by that point, it had been, goodness, 16 years or 17 years of homeschooling. And I remember thinking, honey, I wish we had a Torah-based homeschooling curriculum, something that, you know, emphasized the scriptures, all 66 of them, and taught our kids, you know, about the feasts and all of this. And I said, do you think I could write something like that and someone else would be interested? And he said, there's probably 10 people on the face of this earth that would care about something like that. I said, well, 10 would pay some groceries. And we started, and maybe 100 people within the first 3 weeks. We just cried, because we had no idea that there were even that many people keeping Torah in the world. We were just overwhelmed, and then it was his way to provide not only for our financial needs, but to give us a new hope and a new ministry, and to invest in kids in a way that we'd never been able to do before. It was just an answer to so many prayers. So,
yes, well, I can tell you came along when it was much needed. I started like in 1989 homeschooling.
Uh-huh.
And by the time 2000 rolled around, actually 98 rolled around, I was already in need of, you know, Hebrew roots, Jewish, because back in those days, you know, where did you go except to Jewish sources?
Right. Absolutely.
And then, you know, I think basically Robin Scarlatta, you know, was that Wisdom? What's her curriculum?
Heart of Wisdom.
Heart of Wisdom, which came after the first one she did, as I knew her before that. And so that came, and then the lady who does Eagle's Wings science curriculum, she did one. And, you know, so there were feasts. I think they were featured mostly around the feasts, but they were there. And then I would spend a lot of time rewriting and doing my own. And so there was definitely a need. And I saw the need. And, you know, even up until I think 2007, you know, I wanted to put out a curriculum there, but it just didn't work out. And so I saw when you came along, I want to say you probably were one of the first that really was out there looking at a total Torah curriculum. I mean, I don't remember there being anybody else really.
Well, I know that there are Christian publishers whose goal is to make the Bible the textbook. And mm-hmm. I think that those people that get into the Word, just like how we got into the Word and it changed our lives, I think those curriculum are going to change lives. Because
yes.
How else can it happen? We're in the Word and the Word changes us. So,
yes. But then when you come into the realization of, you know, where our spiritual and perhaps physical roots are from the land and from the northern and southern kingdoms, however, you know, people want to define that. Once you come into that covenant, you see and you start reading the scriptures, you're seeing the scriptures from a different perspective and a fulfillment of prophecy, especially when you get into the feast, right?
Yes.
So then you have to teach your children that, because now you're preparing, and this was really what I think it's all about, is what you're doing is you're preparing the children and the generation to get ready to return.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us about your curriculum and give us your website and tell us how does it work for parents that are interested in that?
Sure. We are homeschoolingtorah.com, and we have all of the subjects that, well, there are always things that we're still writing, but we have tried to provide as full of a curriculum as we can for preschool all the way up through the 12th grade. And the reason that we're able to do that is because one of our core beliefs is that families can learn together. So maybe you have, maybe you're studying science from the perspective of Genesis 1 and learning all of the Hebrew words in that chapter and learning how it absolutely is fulfilled in the science that we see around us every day. And yet you have a 10th grader that you might assign extra projects, extra reading assignments, extra writing, you know, arguments that they would want to defend. Then you have maybe a fifth grader that's just learning about molecules and such. And then you maybe have a small child that's just excited to touch and to do the experiments. And so it really works because the family, you become a unit where you discuss, and discussion is right out of the Torah, right? That's the verse we all know, is that we're supposed to talk about the Torah all day long as we walk and talk and sit. And so our point was to make lesson plans where the topics we've kind of given the mom a track to run on so that she can to open it each day and say, this is what we're going to discuss and talk about, and these are the Bible passages we're going to look at, and this is what we're going to copy by hand, because kings are to copy the Torah. But yet we want to leave a lot of open room for the parents, who are the God-given, they're the ones responsible for their children's education, not our website. And so we want the parents to just have a starting point, and we give them suggestions, but we want them to be the ones leading it. So anyway,
Well, and that is a concept that I found a lot of families couldn't grasp, because first of all, they're trying to come out of the system and they're trying to copy school at home.
Yes.
Instead of a lifestyle and learning. And so then it becomes a huge burden to mom. And then you're doing it for who? You're training them to be good global world citizens.
Yes.
But you're not training them up to be what Elohim wants them to be.
Yes.
And so, especially when you get past two or three children,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that I always had a hard time getting across to some was, no, I've got one child in the hip. I've got to be cleaning the toilet bowl out.
Right.
I've got a kindergarten over here, and I've got a junior high. You know what I mean? And
yep.
You've got to sit down together as a family, learn together, and you can. You can assign and learn how to do those. Basically, I think back in the old days, we called them unit studies.
Yes.
But you can do this without spending all the money on that. Using the scriptures, there's all kinds of science, history, once you learn to think that way, math, there's all this stuff that's right there in the scriptures, and you can expand on it, and each child at whatever level they're at, you expect more of them, right?
Exactly.
And then the thing that I find amazing, which I'm sure you have, is it's amazing what the little children already know and learn because they've been listening to their older brothers and sisters and watching and partaking in that you find out at least later, I didn't even have to teach them now because they already know.
Yes, they suck up the facts like little sponges, and the facts of the Word of God. I mean, the things that they know from the Torah, from the Gospels, the way they understand, they just take it at face value. Yes, this is what prophecy says. Yes, this is what is going to happen. And they just accept it with childlike faith. But then you see as they get older and into the teenage years, then they start to have to defend it. And they ask why. And that isn't something they necessarily do when they're seven. But it's pretty cool to see it happen.
Well, the other thing, too, I think that, and I don't fault this because we all had to come somewhere. A lot of us who came into the homeschool movement like in the late 80s, early 90s, especially, I mean, you were only doing it by the Spirit of God because nobody in their right mind would do it, right?
Exactly.
You had a whole system and parents and grandparents to fight. You didn't really know what you were doing. The mother necessity is what created all the wonderful curriculum that we have today.
Right.
But I found that we did not have to dumb down and get children's little Bible books, and water it all down, that they could literally sit there as soon as they could sit and listen.
Play with Legos.
Draw pictures of the story you're reading, and you could actually read through the scriptures, and their vocabulary and their knowledge and their understanding was there. And then, you know, we learned today, basically, Jewish people don't dumb down, you know, they don't give a dumbed down version of Torah to their children.
No,
you know?
Read it straight from it. Yep.
Yeah.
I think one of the dangers I see in the homeschooling movement as curriculum, I mean, we must have millions of choices, literally millions,
yes,
now
we do.
To choose from. And that wasn't like that when we started. And yet one of the dangers is that we see that the secular mindset has crept in, and it's called Christian, and it says it's from the Bible, but right. It isn't. and yet how are parents to be discerning? And I think the Bible says the way to be discerned, the way that we lead someone to salvation is from the Torah. We have to start with that foundation. And so it gives us that peace that we know that our kids can compare the counterfeit with the real thing.
Right. I used to call that, because like when you came in the 80s and 90s, even maybe the early 2000s, you know, we did it by, you know, the bootstraps and the Spirit of God. We had to do what we had to do. And then, you know, it seemed as we rolled into the 2000s, there came what I called McDonald's version, where, you know, let me go through the drive-through, tell me what textbooks to use, mm-hmm. you know, and then you help somebody do that. And then they go, well, that didn't work for me,
right.
you know, and it's like,
right.
Yeah, because you have to put some effort into it yourself. You have to seek the Father, you know, and even if you're a secular homeschooler, you really need to seek, you know, what Father's put in your heart, whether you acknowledge him or not, and what's best for each child in each situation. So is your curriculum, is it books or is it on site? How does that work?
It's online, but it's intended for the parents to print out. And
okay.
So, you know, it's in PDF format. They can print it out, put it in a binder. A lot of our parents use it online. For instance, even in our house, we'll sit at the table with our smartphones. I have a friend that put a TV screen in her dining room so that they could get on homeschooling Torah and they could watch all the science videos and things.
Cool.
So it kind of works both ways. We used to call it living books, where we would be able to get all these books and build up a home library. And on our website, in order for parents to save money, because we've noticed that a lot of our customers aren't really very rich. We're trying to
right.
keep the feast and our jobs, you know, we're not the richest of people. So we've been trying to use a lot of online sources because there are so much available. So we do a lot of online things, but the actual worksheets and things, parent guides and stuff are things that they can download and just have in front of them each week.
Well, you know, and things have changed dramatically, even in just, I'd say the last 5 years.
Yes.
I wish I remembered the name of, there's an actual video out there that basically goes through and tells you all the new information, like for each year, like
wow.
2016, 17. And we watched one here a couple of years ago that, you know, was showing how, you know, basically almost anything you want to learn is on the internet. And they were saying that if you go to college today, by the time you graduate, most of what you learn is obsolete.
It's so true. It's so true.
And so we have a whole different, you know, aspect of being able to bring that stuff in. On one hand, we might have too much technology, right?
Yes.
But on the other hand, to serve in the home, it helps you raise them up, you know, under the nurturing and admonition of the word, and even critique different things to, you know, say, okay, this is what this is leading you to or not, and learn together as a family. So those
true.
Are wonderful opportunities. So how would it look like? I mean, like, would I get all of, say, kindergarten, first grade, 12th grade? Do I have options? How does that work?
Yes, the members get access to the entire website. However, what we do is, because most of our members pay monthly, it's
okay.
a monthly membership, and you have access to the whole thing, but you only have access to it 1 month at a time. So if you've been a member for 3 months, you're 3 months into your curriculum. And I don't know about most people, but in our house, we stop for the feast for a couple weeks, and we'll have family in. And so we very quickly get ahead of, you know, have more curriculum available to us than what we've been a member for. But some people stop for the summer and they, you know, don't pay anything over the summer and then start back up again in the fall. Or just we try to work with our customers. But that way we keep adding curriculum on the other end so that we're constantly adding things. We're working on some pretty fun things right now. But even still, we have most everything available right now. Most of it, what we're adding is in the high school level for government and economics from a Torah perspective in literature, which is a really big need, and adding some Hebrew resources, which is really fun. So,
now, do you address the preparation of the children to return one day to the land, or is that just something that's caught in the scriptures when they're reading?
Well, when we started a couple years ago, this we started in 2013 with Homeschooling Torah, it wasn't on my radar like it is today. And I would say that majority of our curriculum, it has been just in the Word. But even as our family has been in the Word, during the last few years, it's been getting more and more and more on our radar. And we've been meeting people that are going over there and trying to reconcile, you know, the believers in Yeshua to the Orthodox Jews and so on, and making plans for how can we work together, you know, and build a nation. And so we've been making plans for adding to our curriculum and making it possible that for the kids to learn the history of Israel, not just the history of the United States, geography, so they know where the tribes live and they know something about the land and they know what the land needs and what kind of skills are needed for the people that work there. And it's really exciting to think about all of those things and to think that we have just even a small piece of getting to be part of that. It's really exciting. So,
well, you know, I think that's a huge difference from today for homeschoolers is that, you know, when I'm still homeschooling, by the way, I'll be done in 3 years when I'm 62 years old, having started in 1989. But, you know, it used to be for my older children, we were looking at, you know, Christian missionary, yes. You know, opportunities.
Yes.
Whereas today we have missionary opportunities in the sense that you can go volunteer in the land. Yes. You can learn the land. You can go plant trees in the land, right? We got Hayuvel and Biblical Tamar Park. I mean, we have all these different opportunities to prepare them and to really connect with the land. I mean, even here in the U.S., I think Hayuvel has a camp. And you can go learn Hebrew. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can do. Of course, then there's all the stuff you can learn on the internet. You know, say like Joseph Good's teachings, you know, on the Temple Mount stuff.
You can join and you can have all this accountability as you learn Hebrew. And yes.
Now, is there, I mean, I know there's like a Messianic Singles, but just because I know a homeschool couple who met that way. But are there particularly social places, you know, that are safe for Torah? Believers for young people?
That's a discussion we've actually been having. I don't know too many personally. I've like all kind, you know, you hear the people that start websites that maybe they can be a Torah observant dating service or this or that, and they just end up like the typical ones, you know.
Well, maybe I'm what more, you know, focused on social, because like for what my boys do, they've been connected with boys actually several out of Michigan. And they're going to get to meet another one, this Sukkot that they've been talking to for 4 or 5 years, is they have a private server.
Neat.
So, you know, they've been playing games and talking and connecting for 4 or 5 years now. Because, you know, it's not that we keep our kids from the world. They just don't want to associate, with kids they don't relate to. And, you know, things have gotten so bad at the local library or, you know, children's events that they don't want anything to do with it, so they can connect. And we are spread out, not as much as we used to be, you know.
No, not as much. It's amazing. In just a couple of years, how much has just exploded in possibilities. And I have a feeling it's going to continue like that, just exponential growth.
I don't necessarily want to relate them to Facebook. Do you know what I mean? I mean, they're not there. So I'm just wondering if there was something in the future that you know of anybody or anything out there. Maybe that's what some of the young people need to do is, you know, connect the Hebrew roots.
Well, I know of some that's a passion for them and that they're talking, you know, the late teens, early 20s, they're talking. What are some ways that we can make friends, that we can make relationships, that we know that we can fellowship together and we don't have to be worried about being tempted into sin or accidentally doing something that we would be so offensive to the Father. So I think the kids are catching that vision. And, you know, I think that's what's so exciting is just seeing this whole new generation of teenagers that's growing up. You know, they want to learn Hebrew. They want to study the scriptures in the original language. They want to go to Israel. They want to have jobs that make them able to have, you know, freedom to travel and freedom to keep the feast. And I think it's super exciting because well, you and I, in our age, we've had all kinds of hindrances to being able to walk this walk. And, right. and yet they're planning from the very beginning as they're in high school, they're saying, you know, when I go to college, I'll go to college, but I need to make sure that I can go to Israel
right.
or that I could get a job over there and it would benefit their economy. That's just the coolest thing.
Right. And then there are those that, you know, don't want to go to college because they don't right. feel that it is going to give them anything more than what they have. And like for my son, you know, he's been working in computers since he was 12. And working in editing and video and audio with different ministries, you know, people like you and I. And of course, you have your children in training and learning to do all of this stuff and our children. And so, you know, actually, on one hand, there's kind of a void. On the other hand, it's creating, you know, just like homeschooling, the mother of invention is out of need, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think we're going to see more entrepreneurship. And, you know, and the reality is, you know, the world's not like it was when we went to work. and it's growing harder and harder every day, especially when you're in the cities or near the big cities that, you know, we are not the people that are favored. And we are, you know, harassed at work. I know some wonderful young people and they tell me some of the things that happen at work and they're just trying to mind their P's and Q's. So these are things that we, you know, need to look forward to and try to figure out opportunities. And I think that your curriculum and the stuff that you offer helps build that mindset so that they can be prepared and ready for that and, you know, continue to expand the direction in which they're going.
Well, that's our goal. I know I lay in bed at night sometimes and I'm so torn between two things that I can see in scripture. One, it said when the Jews were captive in Babylon, and the prophet Jeremiah said to them to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which they had been exiled to. And that is our situation. We're in exile, we're in the diaspora, and our kids, you know, have to be able to function in this culture and pay the bills and raise up a family. But then there's the other side when you have Nehemiah, and he says, Jehovah, you promised to bring us back. What can I do? What can I do to help? And that's right. That's where we are too. The prophecies have been fulfilled. We can see that he's bringing his people back. And we think we've got these children. We're a family unit. What can we do? What can we do to build the wall, to raise up, you know, Jerusalem? And I mean, literally the whole nation of Israel, but it's just right. it's an odd thing. And so you're like, Father, what do you want us to write curriculum on? They need math though. I can see that. They need to be able to read. They need Hebrew, you know, so those are the things I can work on, but I'm excited to see what the next decade brings. You know, what kind of things are we going to teach this next generation that has never been taught in the history of the world before? That's a pretty cool thought.
Yes, absolutely. And the fact that they get to live during a time when a lot of those prophecies in the scriptures are actually being fulfilled right now in our eyes, just with the return of, you know, the Jews and what's going on right now with the conversations and, you know, legislative things that are people trying to work out for us to be able to return. I mean,
yeah, it's amazing.
Amazing time we live
pinch
in,
ourselves.
For sure. That is definitely... So talk a little bit about how do we use the Bible as our primary textbook? How does that look?
Well, I think the first thing is a change of mindset for us as moms, that we don't need a curriculum company. You don't need homeschooling Torah. You need the scriptures. And as close as you can get them to the original languages, if you ask me. But what our children need, we need to realize that when Abba makes a promise in the Bible, he holds true to it. So if he makes a promise that his word will thoroughly equip our children, I'm thinking of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says that from infancy you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. And it goes on, and I cut it off there, not because it's not applicable, but it the word of God is thoroughly sufficient to teach our kids. And if we get that mindset, I think that's the most important thing, is for the parents to see it. And when the parents see it, the kids kind of, they come along, they say, yeah, that's easy. But it takes being different from the world, different from yes. having grade levels and different from, you know, well, I'm worried about what kind of testing my kids will do and whether they'll be able to succeed on achievement tests? And will they graduate? Will they have a diploma? And of course, our government has allowed us to have all of those freedoms and still use the Bible, but we have to be able to be willing to step out on faith and say, God, I believe you. I want to trust you, and I'm going to teach my kids your word. And if we get nothing else done in a day, that's the most important thing.
Amen. You know, years ago, I had the opportunity to teach in a private Christian school. And then I ran a private school for home educators. And, you know, the way we ran our school is we tried to follow the system for those who wanted to follow the system with testing, et cetera. But we also felt that people should be free to raise their children the way Father directed them to. Yes. So we made both available. And, you know, there was one year that we brought them in with regular, we brought the home educated children back into the private school with those during the standardized testing. And even though it was a Christian school, it really was brought before my eyes of why, now this is me personally, okay, why are you doing this?
Right.
Why are you teaching them to the scope and sequence of the world? Right. That doesn't produce godly children, you know, necessarily. I'm not saying you can't do it that way, but
it's a harder road.
Right. And I was, because the mindset is different, the way you think, what you do. And I think what a lot of parents do, it is true. They are fearful, you know, what if I don't do this? What if I don't do that? And that is a barrier that is hard to break, because our children are learning and coming up with the admonition of the Lord and knowing, you know, they come into a lifestyle of learning, right?
Yes.
Whereas
yes.
We had to segregate, take that out, and we were told we had to learn certain things. And so when we bring our children home, that's all we know. And I know my oldest child, I hope I'm forgiven for what I tried to cram down her throat, you know, because I was trying to copy the system.
Right.
And it took me several years. And you know, honestly, it probably took me at least 15 years before I really just didn't just use the textbooks as a tool, but threw them out the window and just said, it's a lifestyle of learning. And haven't even taken my younger children, like grade school, into, sometimes I would substitute high school in the Christian school. I would take my children and they would sit in class because, you know, what else were they going to do? They used to be at home with mom. And they would sit quietly over in the corner. And we're talking second and third graders, okay? And by just sitting in the classroom, like in a biology class or something, they could answer the questions when the students of the classroom could not. And it was because they knew how to think. They knew how to learn. They knew how to reason. And that's not something you necessarily learn in a classroom.
No. Well, it says in Scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if do we believe that? I mean, and what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is his word in Psalm 19. It talks about it's his Torah. And I just, and you know, of course I want to emphasize all 66 books, but man, do we really believe that our kids will be wise, that they'll be able to be discerning, they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit? Those are goals that we have, but it's scary to actually try to do it his way. It's very scary.
Yes, it is. And yet, we have throughout Scripture, he commands us to fear not. I mean, that's a commandment. It's not a suggestion, right?
Absolutely.
And he says, if you don't, he'll, you know, if we're dismayed by them, then he'll put us and basically shame us. So, you know, we have to choose. And I know I spent many years overcoming that fear. You know, fear is a powerful, powerful thing that hinders you and affects your health, affects your life. And, you know, it's trying to learn to work through that. So definitely something we all need to learn.
I think that one thing that helps is to try not to compare ourselves to other homeschooling moms. And that's
right.
Hard because we have Facebook, we have, you know, blogs. I write a blog, and it's easy to fall into the trap of, well, I'm not doing everything that I saw on that blog today or that I saw my friend on Facebook doing, you know, and that's a trap.
Right, because that's another thing. We all have different callings. You know, each family has a calling. Each individual has a calling. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, just coming home, you know, like for me, being a career woman, coming home, then bringing your children home, especially if they weren't raised that way from the beginning, That's a full-time job. It takes a year or two just to adjust, to establish that authority and those relationships with your children. And that, for a lot of people, it needs to be your main focus. And I think another important reason why we need to learn together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, so let's talk about the importance of a local congregation or community of Torah believers. And, you know, I think that's a little bit different because the question used to be, how do you join a local homeschool group? that doesn't work anymore for a lot of us because we're not accepted, even though we may want to participate in some things. It's another example of what's going on in the world.
Yeah. Oh, boy. This is a really big passion of ours. And, you know, my husband is working right now to start a congregation. It's not going terribly quickly. We have, you know, an average of 5 or 6 families that come to our home each Sabbath. But it is amazing to see how congregations like this are popping up everywhere. When we first started homeschooling Torah, people would write to us and say, please help us find a congregation. And I'm noticing we don't get those emails like we used to. I think it's because people are finding them, which is awesome. And they're low key. They're just in a home, people meeting on a Sabbath to worship and to pray and to study the Torah. And however, the reason I think it's so important is because a homeschooling curriculum is not the answer. It's just a tool. But our kids need, I think of Abraham and how he would not let Isaac just make friends with anybody in Canaan. He sent off his servant and a lot of money off to a faraway land where he knew that the people would worship the Creator. And I think it should be a high priority for us as families to make sure that our children are making their best friends, the ones that are going to influence their character and their walk every day, because it usually doesn't go the other way. And then, just to be honest, they're future mates, because we have a responsibility to train up our grandchildren. We are not off the hook when our kids get married.
Right.
So it's just a huge responsibility. But even us as moms and our husbands, we need those older women to teach us. And as we get older, we need to be teaching those that are younger. It's not, you know, youth groups and Sunday school classes that are all age appropriate. Instead, we should be older people learning with the younger people and forget those dumb grade levels and those age levels. It's not right. God's way. It's just not.
Right. Well, you know, you're right. It used to be few and far between. You know, sometimes you'd find a congregation where everybody's older. Unfortunately, with a lot of older congregations, they don't want anything to do with the children. Not to say all, but that is
noisy.
A common problem.
Your babies are noisy and they make a mess.
You know, or like, I've done my job instead of, you know, reaching out and helping. But I think, especially homeschool parents, we don't think that way once we're done.
Right.
And I think, you know, and like, for instance, our children, because we lived in sparse areas like in Montana and Idaho, the children created, like I said, the server situation so they could meet and talk with children that they knew were safe, and we knew the families and everything too. When we did find a congregation like where we're here, we moved all the way over here, not because we want to live in Oregon, you know, far be it, far, far be it. But there was an incredible congregation with a lot of families. And I really should only say like 4 major families who actually were all homeschoolers, just happened to be that way, that are incredible families with incredible youth, and not just teenagers, you know, all the way up to 30 plus years old, that these young people are involved. And that's really and truly the main reason we moved here, was because of the congregation and, you know, knowing that our boys needed to plug in. Not with just ministry, but with those other youth. And, you know, I can tell you for the last 20, 25 years, that has been one of the number one issues with a lot of young people who are raised and homeschooled and or even not homeschooled, coming into Hebrew roots of, where am I going to meet somebody, right, who has the same values we have to go the same place? And that's important because they're concerned, you know.
And they should be concerned. They should be. I know of some families that have even made the choice to just go ahead, and this depends on the situation, their jobs and mm-hmm. even their nationality, but if they could even go ahead and move to Israel or to one of the nations surrounding Israel, plug into a congregation that's right there, because they figure that someone that has moved and made that sacrifice to go so far to keep the Torah, that their kids will be a good fellowship, you know, for them.
Right.
That's a big decision. It just, everything in our lives is affected by this, and it's hard. It's so hard. But I think that's where he's moving us, because we can't be on our own. We need the body to build each other up.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk before, we got about 10 minutes left, and I want to make sure, because you have so much, you know, you have so much information in your blog, give your blog and website out again for the Homeschooling Torah, but also then let's talk about this new book that you've written.
Okay. All right. So my website is homeschoolingtorah.com. I do have a blog. It's at anneelliott.com, and that's with every letter possible. Anne with an E, Elliott has two L's and two T's, so anneelliott.com. And you'll see if you go back, I've got posts from 2005 on there, and you can see if you're bored some week, you can see my journey and how, you know, now I like to talk about the Torah, but, you know, I definitely changed over the years, and I decided to just keep it all up there so people could see it. But so those are my two main websites and where my passion lies. But we do have a new book out because God used illness to bring me to the Torah and to change our lives forever. Over the past few years, I've been researching ways that just, again, it's the same principle. The Torah has every answer for everything that we need. His word is promised to supply our needs. So I've been looking in the word for answers for health. And so my book is called Too Tired, because my disease was a form of adrenal fatigue, and I was really tired. And I would just cry out to him and say, how can I be a mom? How can I do all this to support my husband and to minister to the world if I can't even get out of bed in the morning? I'm just so exhausted, you know? I shouldn't be out of breath pouring a drink for myself, you know?
Right.
And, the book is the end result of a decade of studying and seeing what the word says. It's not really rocket science. A lot of it's talking about how to change our behavior so that we aren't run by worry and anger and all of these things that make us sick. And that is what the word says it does. So.
And so what is the title of the book?
It's called Too Tired. I'm so tired. I'm just too tired.
Yeah.
And it's available on, we have a publishing company that we just use to sell books, and it's foundationspress.com. So you can find it there.
All right. So foundationspress.com, and that's Too Tired. And what is the subtitle? A compromise? Or?
A comprehensive look at fatigue in women and what to do about it.
All right. Especially, so you're dealing with adrenal and tiredness. And, you know, I had to repent. I used to say, I'm just sick and tired of this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no, I can't be that. I can't do that. I can't talk that way.
No.
So, and that's exactly how I ended up, sick and tired.
Yes, it's so true. I believe with all my heart that when the Messiah returns, he'll heal us. But what about in the meantime? Hasn't he given us the solutions that we need from his word to be able to still serve him and to further the kingdom? So that's the point of the book. And it talks about healing. And, you know, I believe with all my heart that he heals, but he hasn't chosen to heal me. And so what do you do with that theological problem, you know, that hits you at 3 a.m. and can be really discouraging? And so we look at, what does the scripture say? And does he want you to just lie down and give up? Or does he expect you to use everything he's given you, you know, for his service? So.
Well, and sometimes it takes time, you know, a lot of time. It doesn't like happen, you know, overnight. No. But I would venture to say you're better than you were.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I have seasons and I tend to overdo. If you spend 14 hours writing science curriculum, you might be tired the next day.
Right.
And I have to learn or in the book we talk about your health is like a checking account, and you've been given a certain amount of health that you're a steward over. And here are some things that subtract health from you, and physical things like being physically active and being out in the sun, working in the garden, they can make you tired. But emotional problems or thinking too hard, or even, goodness, I'm sure you understand this, but on Sabbath, studying too much Torah sometimes can really wear you out, or arguing about it with other people, or getting on Facebook discussions, you know, those things can suck the life out of you. And I don't think that's his plan.
No, and we do need to, you know, enter rest. Of course, people have different opinions on that. But, you know, I, for one, don't check the mail on Shabbat.
Yeah.
You know, I try to avoid being online. I know that the Jewish people who, when they keep Shabbat, they don't, a lot of them, you know, it's part of the Holocaust. They're not on the phone. They're not on the internet, because it is a day to focus on family and being with Yahweh Hashem and, you know, reading the Torah. And, you know, a lot of times that is that's a problem too, to, I don't know about you, but for me, especially when you have a congregation, right? Mm-hmm. Shabbat's the busiest day of the week.
It is.
When you're in service, it really is. And I guess that's the way it was for the Kohen.
It is. Only we don't have the rotation schedule, and we don't serve for only 20 right. years and then have off, you know? We're in the dispersion, and it has its effects on us. And however, I think one of the things I've learned, or maybe I should say I'm still learning, is that, you know, just the power of maybe singing praises to him.
And how yes,
can
absolutely.
Take us out of feeling sick. Or just, you know what, it is okay to go take a nap. That is actually the most okay thing you can do on the Sabbath. And yeah, feel guilty about it. Just go do it. Or sometimes he wants us to spend our life that he gave us, and it is his choice to serve others. And we know that that will subtract points, you know, from our health checking account, but that's one of those things where we have to trust him, you know?
Right. Yes. And, you know, and there will be times when you have to pull the plug, you know, if you're not healthy, right, you're not serving anybody to be completely out
of
commission.
It's a hard balance. It's really hard.
It is. And especially when you know, I mean, some people serve, you know, because there's something they're trying to fill a need or a void of something remiss emotionally. But there are others, I think, that truly do give because they're so grateful, you know, for what the Father's done for them. And it's like the least we can do. But there are times when, you know, and I found this as I get older, it upsets me that I have to do this. But, you know, having a family, a ministry, homeschooling, and a business, you know, I have to tell my friends, and I'm so blessed to have so many, I can't do that. I have to be in bed by a certain time, because if I don't, then I can't get up, and then I will have that adrenal fatigue, right?
Absolutely.
And I have to take care of that, because, you know, I'm pushing 60 and I want to be here at least 20, 30 more, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to make choices, and because we only get one tabernacle, I think, until the resurrection.
Yeah. But I know I also am learning, and coming to Torah has helped me, because for the first time in my life, I read prophecy and it wasn't boring. And I actually, I can make sense of it more now, you know, it's me it's talking about.
And,
but I read it and it gives so much hope, because even if this body wears out, we get a new, it's just a temporary time. And
yes.
The time coming, we're not going to wear out like this. And that just gives you so much hope, because there are days that seriously, sometimes I'm really still sick, and I'm thankful I have a job that I can work on a laptop and I can sit in a recliner, put my feet up. And sometimes I don't even have the energy to do that. And yet I know that he's sovereignly in charge of the smallest sparrow, and he's sovereignly in charge of whether I'm sick or not. And whether homeschooling curriculum gets written that day or not is not a big deal to him. He's got this plan and he's working it, and we can see that with our own eyes, and it involves our lives too. We can trust him that some days he's just taken us off and put us on the sideline, and that's his plan, and we have to accept that. And other days we can't sit on the sideline. We need to not be lazy and get up and go.
Right. You know, I knew this Christian lady when I taught in the school, and she was probably, I'm going to say, at least 50. And she'd already raised a family, and the father put it on their heart to adopt a special needs child. And I remember asking her about that. You know, well, you're getting older. How are you going to do this? And, you know, she said that, you know, her and her husband had prayed about it. And the bottom line was, yes, Father just answered and said, you'll get to rest when you get to heaven.
Yeah, get to rest later. That's right. That's right.
and you know, I was going to go back to the blog thing. Because so many of us in this generation, especially in the Hebrew Roots and or homeschooling, we didn't have, there were very, very few, if any, older godly women who really supported us, who wanted to teach us the things. You know, a lot of us did on-the-job training. And one of the things that's been really amazing that has helped so much is blogs, is writing, is technology, because, you know, even going back, I used to love to read Elizabeth Prentice from the 1800s. She was my mentor, you know, and she wrote, what, 200 years ago. And then today we have other people and other women who have forged this. And so we now have a whole generation of older women, and we're able to, you know, speak to the younger women and influence the young people that are coming up. And we have a much bigger support system. So I think that's wonderful and very important.
That's awesome.
So, and we're getting ready. We got about 2.5 minutes. So again, just give us your websites and also for the book, the blog, and your homeschooling curriculum.
All right. The book, Too Tired, is available at foundationspress.com. And we have some other homeschooling curriculum there, just not everything that we offer, but a few things are there. Then I have my blog. It's anneelliott.com with every letter possible, 2 E's, 2 L's, 2 T's. and that's just a study, Bible studies for women. It's very much for women and how to have a marriage and raise our children to please Him. And then finally is our homeschooling curriculum. It's for preschool all the way through 12th grade, and it's homeschoolingtorah.com. And our goal is to raise our kids up with the Bible as their primary textbook and firmly based on Yeshua as the Messiah, and raise up a generation to return to the land and be skilled workmen for Him. So.
Amen. Now, do you have a page on Facebook?
I do. Okay. It's Torah. I have to think what it is. I think
is it
it's
homes-
Torah and Elliot, and then Homeschooling Torah. Yes, Homeschooling Torah would okay. be a great place to get a hold of me, and I can see you.
So. Well, that would be awesome. And I really want to thank and appreciate what you and your husband and your children are doing, because people just don't realize what an impact their families, whether it's negative or positive, what you individually and as a family, the impact that you have on the world.
And it's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling and humbling that He would use humans when He has so much power and so much ability, but He uses us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And if you want in the future, come back and see us and share what is going on at Homeschooling Torah and anything that you have there, because I look forward to reading your books. And so everybody check out Ann Elliott and Homeschooling Torah and those books that she has. So. Thank you so much for being here, Anne. All right. So we will be back next week here at Remnant Radio. I'm not sure where the topic is next week. I might do a celebration of the thing that I taught last weekend on the two houses and the destination for Israel, what's going on in the land and what's going on about the restoration process. So thank you so much for being here. I hope that you come back next week here to Remnant Radio. And we just posted a newsletter today, Remnant Remedy, remnantremedy.net. And we have some specials and things going on. So if you're interested in that newsletter and that information, contact me. I am on Facebook under Nitza Moshe. Or you can reach us at remnantremedy.net/radio. And you can listen to the archives for these shows on remnantremedy.net/radio. Thank you. May your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shimmer. Shalom. Learn how to make healing oils on your own, grinding wheat and storing.